Let's begin with our readings. First reading is going to come from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Hear now these words. In the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. Maybe I have blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. I also want to share some words for you from Diane Viola, from her book, Travels with Buster, A Journey of Unconditional Love. Buster's a dog. A Journey of Unconditional Love. Sometimes, how we learn to love ourselves is by loving others and seeking to answer the question, how may I serve? Rather than, what's in it for me? So, don't wait till you've learned how to do that before entering into your next relationship, because it is in the context of relationship that we learn how to love and how to let love in, not sitting on the sidelines trying to work it out.
This is the first movement in the suite for St. John's piano called Baroque and Blue.
Thank you.
So today we are going to talk about something that I think you all already know. But I think it is helpful to reinforce what we know from time to time. Today I'd like to do so at least in part by connecting it back to some of the early leaders in what has become progressive Christianity. And in this particular case, if we are brutally honest with ourselves, it is something we very much need to be reminded of because we don't always get it right. At the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in prison for taking a stand against Hitler. A group of Christians who believed that Hitler was the Antichrist asked Bonhoeffer, "Why do you expose yourself to all of this danger? Jesus will return any day, and all of your work and suffering will be for nothing." Bonhoeffer replied, "If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labors. But today, I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it's finished." From our reading today, the final verse. "As for you, in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of bringing good news. Fully do the work of your ministry." I think the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and this verse from 2 Timothy have a lot to tell us about who we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to do as followers of the teachings of Jesus. This verse is particularly interesting as Presbyterians because that last word, ministry, in Greek it's diakonia, which is where we get the word deacons, which is part of the duties that all of our installed elders are supposed to take care of in the church, to be deacons, leaders, those who help meet the needs of the church. Bonhoeffer shows us what that kind of following, that kind of Christian leadership looks like. If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labors. But today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it is finished. And then 2 Timothy tells us, in all things, we are to do the work of bringing good news until our work is finished. What we will find is that while that all sounds wonderful and even somewhat inspiring, putting it into action isn't always that simple. In part because we get too easily confused with what following looks like. Our text says, proclaim the message. Well, okay. What's the message? All you have to do is to flip through TV channels on any given Sunday morning to see that there is, shall we say, some discrepancy with the exactly what the message is. The text also says the time will come when, quote, people will not put up with sound doctrine but have itching ears. Great again, but what is sound doctrine? And what is doctrine that should be avoided at all costs? Most devout Christians, not surprisingly, believe that their particular way of understanding Christianity is, of course, the right way, sound doctrine. But when denominations are splitting in half over theological questions and people are leaving congregations leading congregations over something that a minister said or a Sunday school teacher said, well, we can't all be right when we disagree so strongly, even when we think we are. Wouldn't it be great if we had some kind of simple test to evaluate if we are following the teachings of Jesus, or if, as the text suggests will happen to some people, we're following teachers to suit our own desires. Now, most of you, if not all of you, have heard me on enough Sundays to now know that it shouldn't surprise you that to hear me say that one of my personal heroes is Martin Luther King. The day before he died, in his last sermon, Dr. King said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life, but I am not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And his statement rings echoes of Bonhoeffer, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor, but today I have work to do. It must continue until the struggle is finished. And echoes of 2 Timothy as well. As for you, in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of bringing good news fully. Do the work of your ministry. In his last sermon, besides making the statement that the most important thing in his life was doing God's will, in his last sermon, Dr. King revisits the story that Jesus told when trying to teach us about doing God's will, the Good Samaritan. In it, Dr. King gives those who pass the hurt man by sort of the benefit of doubt, pointing out that that particular stretch of road was known to be a very dangerous stretch of road, and that they may have actually feared for their own lives. He imagined them asking the question, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? Then Dr. King cuts to the heart of the story, and for that matter, to the heart of the message today. He said that they asked the wrong question. They asked, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Samaritan asked, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? That is the question that love asks. If I do not stop to help this person, what will happen to them? It's the question that caused Abraham to plead with God for the lives of the people in Sodom. It's the question that led Daniel to face down the giant. It's the question that led the prophets to literally risk their lives in order to point people towards a better way. It's the question that led Jesus to the cross with a greater love as anyone than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. It is the question of love. How do we follow? How do we know if we're proclaiming the right message? How do we know if we are doing God's will? We ask the question of love. Does the teaching lead to greater love? Does the action not only come from a place of love, but results in the person knowing that they are loved? And do not fall prey to the temptation to say that that is naive, to think that we can love everyone, even our enemies. It's not naive. It is an acknowledgement of what is sacred. It is not naive. Do not fall prey to the temptation to say that it is naive to forgive. It is not naive. It is love. Do not fall prey to the temptation to say that it is naive to make sure that the basic needs are met, even for the least of these. It is not naive. It is love. It is acknowledgement of what is sacred. Following, practicing, and proclaiming love means matching our weekdays with our Sundays. Following, practicing, and proclaiming love means being willing to risk loving your enemy. It means when faced with someone in need, asking the question, if not me, who? If not now, when? It means always answering those questions with love. And accepting his Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King had this to say about love. When I speak of love, I am not speaking of some sentimental and weak response, which is little more than emotional bosh. I am speaking of that force which all of the great religions have seen as a supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to the ultimate reality. This Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist belief about the ultimate reality is beautifully summed up, he said, in the first epistle of St. John 19. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Love is the question, and love is the answer. Love of God and neighbor is, in fact, sound doctrine. In fact, according to the teachings of Jesus, it is the sum of all doctrine. Love God, love your neighbor, and as we learn in the Good Samaritan, anyone in need is your neighbor. So, for those of us trying to sort out how to follow the teachings of Jesus, I give us this charge, love. Measure the success of your discipleship in units of love. Let love be your compass and your companion and your full-time commitment. Hold to it with reckless abandon. Let it be your unifying principle in life. Let it be your first and your last word. Let it be in your every action. Let it be your go-to question and answer in all things. Sunday since I kind of mentioned my approach to prayer and how it's changed over the years. So I invite you to join us and accept this in whatever way is best for you, whether it is as a prayer or meditation or moments to just be calm and grapple the words that God, you might need in these moments. But let's bow our heads together as we do. Following the teachings of Jesus and so many other great spiritual guides is, at times, more difficult than we ever imagined. Not just because loving our enemy is so difficult, not just because giving away what we work hard to own is so hard, not just because forgiving can feel so counter to our human instinct, but because there are so many messages out there about what following love looks like. May we not only have hearts that long to walk in the teachings of love, but minds that earnestly seek to step in the right places. May we learn to follow mindfully rather than blindly, May we seek out the path that makes the world a better place for all people, rather than simply for ourselves. May we have instilled in us an understanding that faith is not solely about our own personal souls, but rather about the entirety of creation. May we be encouraged to express love more fully in each of our actions. And in doing so, may we grow closer to each other, and in doing so, begin to heal the world. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and actions share that love and happiness with all of those you need. Thank you.